People and Places, with your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, everybody, it's Shift and Steer. And, you know, it's just Matt and I today. We're here in the studio. And, you know what, Matt? I want to start out with something that kind of blew me away a little bit. it wasn't on our original show notes or anything like that, but all this...
First of all, we have show notes, so that's a new thing.
Man, can you believe that? We're actually organized. Means the show's going to go downhill. So this autonomous driving, the Uber car in Arizona that hit the lady on the bike.
Yeah.
Have you watched any of the footage?
I haven't been following it. It's been a crazy week, but I think I saw something saying... The car's not at fault now. Some conclusion, police said that it's not the autonomous car's fault. Like, what were they going to
do? It's not the robot's fault.
Like, yeah, just we were going to arrest it, but we're not now. So I don't know.
It's not Stuxnet's fault. You know, it's really strange because so Uber went to Arizona to do this because their laws were a lot looser on autonomous driving cars. And I mean, this is coming on strong. I mean, every major automotive manufacturer.
Good morning.
Yes. And all of these, companies like Uber and Apple and, you know, just keep going down the list that have these out there now. Google has cars out there. Well, this is the first one that ever ran anybody over. And so it was a big deal when it came out.
It's not going to be the last.
No, it's not. But it was a big deal. You know, it was all over the news.
It is a big deal.
And it said that, this car was driving down the road and it just ran this woman over. I mean, the first reports, it sounded like it just ran this woman over.
Like full speed, yeah.
Yeah, well, almost, I swear to God, it almost sounded like they made it. Like the car swerved out of the way and, you know, it hit her or something. But it turns out now that the video came out and I saw the video, I went, okay, I don't care. If you were driving the car, I was driving the car, anybody was driving that car, they probably wouldn't have missed her either. You're coming down the road, 40 miles an hour. It's four lanes across. There's nothing out there. It's like this desolate area. It's the middle of the night. And you've all been on these roads where the traffic, the lights that light the road, mm-hmm. they're like pools of light, right?
Yeah.
And in between those pools of light, there's total black.
Yeah.
So this car's coming along, and it was fully camered, camera on the driver, camera looking forward, camera looking back. And it's cruising along. There's nothing. And you can't see a damn thing ahead of it except for these pools of light. And then right as the car enters this one pool of light, it gets about halfway through, and all of a sudden, on the outer edge of the black, the headlights all of a sudden pick up this lady pushing her bike across the street, not riding it, not hustling. She's just pushing her bike across the street. Smack, you know.
It's not a stoplight or a crosswalk
no,
or anything?
Okay. Middle of a street.
Yeah.
You know, and at that, I don't think anyone... I mean, let's put it this way. We know how hard video games are to beat. These computers have better reflexes than us. If that laser that's there and all that picks up anything, I mean, we sure couldn't react. And so, but now, you know, they've canceled the program indefinitely. They're researching and everything. But all this stuff's come
out. She died?
Yeah, she died instantly.
Well,
that
sucks.
No, it does suck. And it's... But now all this stuff's coming up about the monitor that was in the car. They call it the chaperone.
The person that was in there?
Yeah, that's just kind of monitoring. Oh, why didn't they? Now, they wouldn't have had time. They had the camera on her, and she kind of – her eyes get big right as it happened. I mean, there wasn't even time to do anything. And you know, it's a bad deal. It really does suck that the lady got killed. But it's like you said – I think if it was just a person driving down the street and hit him, it would have hit him. Because what's the first thing of being a pedestrian? It's,
well,
don't get hit
by a car.
But it's like those big chunks of metal, man. You got to stay out of the way. And I mean, when you're a kid, what do you learn? Look both ways.
Right. When you get a license, they teach you. Pedestrians always has the right of way,
yeah,
right, because you don't want to hurt anybody. That's right of way. But also, if you're smart, you're like, this is a 4,000 pound car or whatever that's coming at me. What are the chances you versus car? It's going to be tough. It's super terrible for this woman.
No, it is. But, dude, I tell my wife all the time, when we're like at the shopping mall or at the grocery store or whatever, I go, do not cross in front of a car until you make eye contact with them.
Right.
Because people are on their phones. And it's like if they see you, then you know. But otherwise, don't assume anything.
Yeah.
I've almost been run over a bunch of times. Have you ever almost hit anybody?
I've almost been hit. Like when I'm like around the neighborhood.
Yeah, but that
was
in a bar because you were trying to pick up on that guy's girlfriend.
He was slow and drunk.
No.
Because I run around the neighborhood and I put like my AirPods in and I run around the neighborhood. And sometimes it's easier to like run in the street because if you're running down the sidewalk and
it's up
like
and down,
up and down, up and down, up and down. And then I was like, I'm just not doing that.
Dog poop.
There's just too many cars. And especially in the neighborhoods now, because Waze has so many people cut through neighborhoods.
Yes.
And where I live in Venice, it's very convenient to just like in the afternoon, at the end of the day, just the whole neighborhood is just covered in cars. And there's roads with like right turn only because too many people try to like cross all of Venice, six lanes. And there's so many accidents every time they try to cross. And now they put up a stop sign, which was kind of there, and then you have to turn right. You can't cross it. And it's just painted that way. There's no light, and you can't put anything in the middle of the road to, you know, because then people are just going down straight. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
It's all painted. It says right turn only, and people get up there, and they creep out, and they creep out, and they creep out, and they go. Like right in front of my apartment out there, a guy turned right into the road and hit somebody on a bicycle right in front of my apartment. She went flying, and it was a whole thing.
It's because everybody has this mentality now that it's all about me.
Yeah.
It's my world. Yeah. You just live in it.
We all need like a little bit more situational awareness. Like we got to just pay attention.
But one of the worst things is what you just mentioned, where I had an incident once. I didn't hit anybody, but I was like, whoa, freaked me out, was that you're sitting there at a busy intersection. I'm like at a McDonald's or whatever, and I'm looking left so that I can, you know, pull out when the traffic has a break in it, and you're waiting, and you look, and then you're waiting. Well, then when you finally start to go, some dude comes walking down, and he had just walked in front of you, and you're still doing that looking left. And at the last second, as I turned forward, I had already started to move. The guy's like, got his hand on my hood, like, dude, you know, and I'm like, oh, sorry about that, you know. I mean,
what'd you get at McDonald's?
I think it was they had the special for the quarter pounder with cheese, and, you know, man, that was...
Did you give it to the guy you almost killed? Sorry, buddy, have a Whopper or a quarter pounder or whatever.
He said, I only eat at Wendy's,
Man. He's so, like, I only like a square burger.
Anyways, enough of that, but one of the interesting facts that came out in this is that Apple is, they have more autonomous cars on the road right now than anyone, any auto manufacturer,
Apple
anybody.
Does?
Two times more.
I would have thought Google or what's Google's company, Waymo?
Yeah, You would have thunk that.
Yeah.
But no, it was on the news that they have more, and most of them are in California. And I bet they're on Venice Boulevard, Matt.
I think we talked about the Porsche Mission E, their electric car, their Tesla fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And Porsche is talking about that would be an autonomous car as well. It's part of the technology they're trying to develop, if I remember that correctly. So it's going to be interesting how these car manufacturers build them into, like, are we trying to get autonomous cars so we can ride in our own cars and drink coffee and read the newspaper? Or are we trying to do, like, I'm kind of down. So I had this conversation with Adam.
You mean,
Carolla.
Is it your own private Uber?
Yeah. I had this conversation with Adam where we're like, we don't want to, like, drive to the airport or whatever, right? And you want to take an Uber, but we kind of hate the fact that there's a live Uber driver. Because you're on the phone, you're doing meetings, you're talking about stuff, or you're talking about the next show, or who's coming in, and you know, it's a lot of, like, I'm not saying it's like super sensitive business stuff, but to you or me or Adam, it is, right?
It's when the guy turns around and he goes, you know, I could give you a few show notes on that, and you're like, oh, God.
Right, right. Yeah. have you seen my demo reel?
Yeah, here's my headshot.
So it just feels a little awkward having, like, I'll be on the phone with you or Adam or somebody in the back of an Uber, and I always got to be like, I'm in an Uber. And that completely changes the conversation to, like, okay, yeah, well, we'll just make it quick, and then we'll see you on, for the show,
yes,
whatever.
Exactly.
We don't really get into, you know, a whole thing or what somebody said or whatever. But if Ubers were autonomous, then you get that sense of privacy. That's the only thing that's, like, super interesting.
Well, why not a car that is you put it in autonomous mode? You drive yourself to the airport, you pull up to the curb, and instead of saying, you know, to your wife or your girlfriend or whoever, hey, see ya, I'm back on Thursday, you just...
Well, right, can you send your car home?
Yeah,
go home.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You have an app, that would be so cool, and then you just go, bup, and the car pulls away, and it goes home and puts itself in the garage, and hopefully it doesn't run anybody over on the way home.
So nobody sits in the front, or you get, like, the inflatable guy from the airplane movies?
No, nobody. Nobody. And
what was it? He had a name.
That's right.
Like, he's on IMDb, but, like, when you search for the airplane movies, there's, like, the inflatable guy, he's got a name.
He's probably got a better profile than we do. More credits.
More money.
But, I mean, it would be so cool. It's like, oh, crap, I left my, that proposal in the trunk of the car. So you just hit the app, the car spins around and comes back, and there's like, a red light on top so that everybody knows you forgot something and you screwed up.
It would be interesting, can you identify autonomous cars when they're in autonomous mode? I don't need, like you mentioned, a red light. Like, maybe it doesn't have a big flashing yellow light on the top like a tow truck.
It has, like, LED strobes front and rear, right, like a pace car.
But something, right? Like, something that says it's in autonomous mode. We can bring back the undercar neon glow.
There you go.
Like,
yeah.
That was big in South Florida.
Man, the guys in Florida, they would be like, I'm getting an autonomous car tomorrow.
Yeah, Street Glow, I think was the name.
Street Glow. That was it.
Man, there was dudes running around. They were, like, all blacked out Mustangs, Fox Body Mustangs back then with the purple glow.
Fox Body Mustangs.
With the purple glow. And then they would drive around with no lights on and just have this purple glow. I was like, I think you're sort of defeating the purpose of what's going on here.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a cool little effect. Makes your car look like it's floating on a light frisbee. But you can't roll around with no lights on and all that. That used to happen all the time.
Yeah, I remember guys just having their fog lights on.
Yeah.
You know, you know what? This came to me the other day. I was driving home, and you see all the cars now, and they're getting better and better with the LED, where they have the daytime running lights, right?
Yeah.
Well, it was getting close to dusk, and I saw, I think it was an Audi or something like that. And I went, wow, those daytime running lights look really cool. You know, at this time of night without the headlights on. And I thought, I remember in high school, there were guys that would run around at night at the local cruising place with, like, their Z28 with the RS front end, you know, and they'd have those two round lights. And it looked cool. It was totally illegal, but it looked cool. And I thought, now, those guys are probably in heaven because they're like, I'm getting a car with the coolest daytime running lights and just drive it like that.
Just driving around. The other thing that was driving me nuts the other day is it's been raining a lot here in Southern California.
Well, for us, 2 days, yes.
Yeah. But also, like, a week ago when I came out here, it was raining as well.
I know.
And so that's, like, a lot.
Gets the cars dirty, and then
by the way, if you flick on the news, it looks like it's a world's worst disaster. They show, like cars sliding down hills in the rain. I was like, where is this happening?
And you drive down the freeway, and there's these huge boards that light up, and they say, heavy rains approaching, heavy rains tomorrow, drive carefully. And it's like, there's a little misting, you know? It's like nothing.
The rain was starting to come down a little bit, and it was getting pretty foggy, and I guess it's so rare out here for us to get that kind of weather. I don't understand why people don't get the whole wipers on, lights on thing. If your wipers are on, your lights are on, because you realize with a little bit of that fog, you can't see the car in front of you if their taillights aren't on.
You're asking for a lot, Matt.
And I was driving, and I was counting the cars from here back to L.A., like about an hour on the road when it was raining. And no lie, 1 in 10 cars had the lights on. And the ones that did have the lights on were modern enough that it was automatic.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. It's like maybe the daytime running lights or something kind of confuses people because it's raining a little bit. And you get up on somebody's bumper and you can kind of see that your headlights are on, but your taillights are on.
Yeah.
Right? Auto is different than daytime running lights. You know?
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, have you ever gotten in a rental car? I've gotten in a rental car. All my cars have automatic headlights.
Yeah.
You know, I've got them all set on auto, and I can't tell you how many times I've gotten, like, in a rental car and start to drive and realize, oh, crap, I don't have my headlights on.
Yeah, you forget.
I just pay, man. I'm a,
cause you just forget.
It means I'm renting cheap rental cars because they don't
right.
even have automatic headlights.
Wait, your Yukon out there has got automatic headlights?
Heck, yeah. That thing's fully loaded, man. I ordered
back
it with,
of the day.
I ordered it with every option you could get.
You must have also the cell phone option because the antenna stuck on the window.
Well, that is the what was it called? OnStar.
OnStar. Oh,
that's the OnStar.
That was before they had the shark fin.
Before they had the shark fin,
you had like the little legit like little.
That was the year before when they were cleaning out the 1980s bins yeah. and said, you know, we got 40 million of these. Just put them on every car.
It's like, I'm surprised that year a vehicle has the auto headlights. Good for you.
Yeah, and heated seats and a.
It was an aftermarket. You didn't go to SEMA and be like, "How do I get auto headlights?"
Yeah, it's a guy that stands inside and he goes, "Ink." Hey, did you? I mean, you know, you hang out with Goldberg.
Yeah,
and I know Goldberg, and that dude is like a Chrysler Dodge fanatic. Okay, I mean, he always has been.
Have you seen the photos of us next to each other? It's like a monster truck standing next to a smart car.
I know. He's just ginormous.
He's a big
dude.
The guy's.
I mean, he's not just muscular big. He's just big in stature.
He is. Know? We've been having a lot of fun, by the way, doing the new podcast,
cool.
CarCast, every Wednesday. He's been coming up and doing. No, he comes up like on a Sunday morning. We try to do like 3-4 shows in a day, and that's just kind of the only way we can get it done. But we've been having some fun with it, and you guys should check that out.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday. But
he's
a big Mopar guy.
Being a Mopar guy, I was thinking of him when I was putting this together, because 5 years ago, Fiat Chrysler, you know, when they did the whole thing, and there was the Walter P. Chrysler Museum in Detroit. And it was one of those places I was kind of on my short list. I always wanted to go to. And every time I was in Detroit, it would be, well, I don't have time. I got too many meetings. Or, you know, went to the Ford Museum, which you went to. And you spend a whole day there and you don't even see half of it, you know.
No, I didn't even really get the chance to walk around
yeah.
it so much, except for just walking in to do a screening event.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But so they had this museum, and it was a real interesting deal. The whole story behind it was basically that, you know, it was originally a Chrysler Museum. When Chrysler was going bankrupt back when, they spun it off and did, like, donated it and made a 501c charity so that the cars – and it was not as much like, you know, oh, we're being so generous, as they did not want the whole collection of Chrysler automobile to be sold off as part of the bankruptcy, you know. So they did that. And the guy came in and, you know, they, you know, it was great, ran for years. And then all of a sudden one day they said, we want to buy it back. So they worked a deal, bought it back. And as soon as they bought it back, they shut it down. And it like blew everybody away. It was like, wait a minute. There was all these car shows there. There was events, and it got shut down. So they, you know, mothballed all the cars, and they just announced that the old Viper plant
yeah.
is where they're going to put all the cars. Now, this plant's like 392,000 square feet, and so they're going to put all of the cars in there, but only 77,000 square feet is going to feature a select group of cars, the 85 that they say are, you know, the best of the best, and then the rest of the 400 will go in that other area.
So the original museum had 400 cars in the collection.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the Peterson Museum out here. They have like 300 cars, but they only display like 150 or something at a time, and then they kind of cycle them
yeah,
through.
You can
they come out of the vault and the basement.
Rotate them. And,
yeah.
But what's interesting is that this is going to be more or less a corporate function area. It's not
yeah.
going to be an area that is open to the public except for special occasions and like
yeah.
that. So, but it, you know, it's pretty interesting. So, I mean, it's a shock to all the Chrysler guys, because they were all hyped up that this museum was going to open back up, and now they find out that it's just special events. But I think as time goes by, as they get it all worked in, it's going to come back. And it's just great to see some of these buildings in Detroit being used for other purposes, because, you know, this building that that they're housing this Chrysler collection in, is it was originally built in 1966 by Champion Spark Plugs.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And then it went on to be the Viper and the...
like mid-90s.
Yeah, mid-90s for the Viper and the Prowler. It became the assembly facility there.
Yeah.
And so they're going through, they're gutting it. And if there's any of our listeners that are into Vipers, what I hear is that Chrysler is taking a bunch of the stuff that, rather than just throw it in the dumpster, they're auctioning it off to benefit charity. And there's a lot of really collectible Viper things, you know, for guys that
are
into that.
You think like Viper pieces?
It's memorabilia, they say.
It's memorabilia.
So
it's not like a hood or...
I don't know. I didn't go to the site and check it out because I'm not that big of a Viper guy. So it's, but
Vipers are starting to catch on at auction. I don't know if you
have you ever driven a Viper?
Yes.
They're not the best.
They're not the best. I would go so far as to say they're definitely not the best.
Yeah. I was so excited when they first came out because, as you know, we built the wheels for the original cars.
And, oh, yeah.
And it was like I was so excited to jump in one and go, man, it just looks so great. It was so ahead of its time and bringing all that in. And then I drove it.
Yeah.
And I was like, wah, wah, wah. You know, it was like,
I drove one that's fairly recent. Like, I drove whatever the last gen Viper was. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. It's fast. But
they're fast.
You know, but it's just, it's still like the last gen one is pretty raw.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's a good way of putting it. Raw. That's what they are.
So if, like, you got to love it for that, you know. But if you think you're going to get on the freeway and make a couple of phone calls while you're on your way there, like, it's not that car.
Right. It's not that there's anything wrong with it.
It's still hot. It
performs, but it's just not, it doesn't have the creature comforts of many of the other super performance cars that are out there right now.
Yeah.
So
it's funny you mentioned that. We just had the guys from Superformance on talking about their Cobras and the Daytona coupes that they make.
Yes.
And I always kind of felt like the Viper is like an OE version of that. You know, like, it's a little rough. It's a little loud. If you wanted to, you could go to Superformance and they'll put in a radio and an air conditioning for you. But why? And I feel like the Viper's kind of the same way. You know, like, you're not going to use it in that car. And it's still, you know, and it's made to be a great track car, and it's going to be fast and handles great, but, you know, like, not the best date night car.
No. A lot of them were purchased and driven to the Cars and Coffee and then sat in the garage a lot.
There's a guy in Venice that has, I think he's got like a Gen 1 version. It's red. He's got the little toupee soft top on it.
Right.
It is the rattiest piece of shit. And this guy's got miles on it. He never cleans it, washes it, or anything.
He uses his, huh?
And I'm telling you, he's just driving it around all the time and not a care in the world.
Now, wait a minute. You're sure this isn't a barn find patina
car? No, I'm telling you, man. Like, the front headlight's falling out and the hood barely closes. And he just keeps driving it and driving it and driving it. Which is funny because we've seen a lot of, like, SEMA builds come up with the Viper engine.
Yes.
I like the engine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure the engine runs forever.
That 12-cylinder's awesome.
And whatever. It's probably got, like, a Tremec 6-speed in it or something. That'll run forever, right?
Yep.
But just every other panel on that thing is just going to fall off.
I know.
It's just falling off. But it's pretty interesting. God bless this guy. He's like, I got a Viper, and I'm going to get my money's worth.
He's driving that sucker, man.
To the ground, literally to the ground.
So,
all right. So we're going to have our friend come in. He's one of our Turtle Wax
influencers.
Shine Squad guys.
Yeah.
Show me your shiny. They hated that when I pitched that to them. So now I'm saying that on the air when I pitched that on there. But before we get started, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Turtle Wax. The automotive world has seen major advances since Turtle Wax was invented. Since Turtle Wax invented the first liquid car polish back in 1941. Brad was there. You remember.
Now, come on.
But as the saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And the things that threaten the look, feel, and smell of your car are as constant as ever. That's why Turtle Wax has spent the past 77 years developing the most revolutionary products in car care, like their new Power Outline, featuring advanced technology that destroys stains and odors at the molecular level. Turtle Wax Power Out products are designed to clean, shine, and protect your interior from whatever messes the world throws at it. I don't know why poor George the dog always comes up.
He comes up every
time. He's not smelly.
George is not smelly. He's clean. But you know what? I don't even have to worry about it. Because if he does track something into one of my cars, then just throw some of that turtle wax in there and get rid of the odors.
We get like a press car every now and then. And I'm sure George gets a ride in one of those. So you might want to keep some of this on hand, some of this power out. Yeah,
there you go. That's a good idea. Hey, you know what? Do you remember, just talking about turtle wax here, and I remember when I was growing up and my dad, I'd go out and he had, you know, I remember the commercials and everything, but I can remember to this day the metal little disc canisters that you had to pry off with a screwdriver, and it was turtle wax, you know? It was, you opened it up, took a whiff of it, and it was cool. Now they have so much.
That's how the Karate Kid learned karate. He's waxing cars.
That's right.
Turtle Wax's dedication to innovation is so great, they're getting recognition in unprecedented categories. Over 40,000 consumers voted Power Out Carpet and Mats Cleaner the 2018 Product of the Year in the pet care category, which is awesome. I didn't know there was even an award for that. But
well, now you know.
While awards look nice on mom's mantle, and what matters most to Turtle Wax is how much car enthusiasts worldwide trust their products. Turtle Wax continues formulating breakthrough technologies to help you keep your car looking, feeling, and smelling fresh. Turtle Wax, trusted innovation inside and out.
You know, if George the dog had a bigger Instagram following, he could probably be an influencer.
He could be a Turtle Wax influencer.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, so speaking of, how are you? We have Raz.
There you go.
Krog.
Got it.
Hey, that's one of those names where you always remember, right?
Yeah, well, it's helpful in what I do.
So. I feel like you should have an accent of some sort.
I'm from New Jersey, and I don't have an accent.
No, I was thinking Russian or something. Like something.
This is Raz Krog.
Like, whatever it is, it's sort of villainous.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What I was expecting.
Yeah.
Something sort of villainous.
I like that.
Right?
It's not bad. Be a little ominous.
Right. By the way, nobody wants to be the good guy. It's so much more fun to be the bad guy.
Oh, chicks dig the bad guys. Right. You know?
Bad guy is the guy with the viper in Venice. I'm telling you.
No,
that's a different kind of bad guy.
That's a bad guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, the bad guys are so much better in the movies now, because now it takes teams of good guys to take down one bad guy,
that's
right?
True.
You need an entire Avengers force to take down one bad guy.
Well, the new bad guy, did you see the trailer for Deadpool 2?
Yes.
I mean, the new bad guy,
Cable.
Yeah. They can't even touch him, man.
Him. It's funny because we're totally off topic, but the actor who plays Cable is who? Come on now.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
No, who?
Josh Brolin, that's it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, and, I didn't even notice that.
And I think in the Avengers movie that's coming out, they fight the big guy, Thanos, I think, is the big...
Okay.
Yeah, also Josh Brolin.
Really?
Yeah. How do you land that gig?
Well, it's like Netflix now.
Like, one is all CGI, so you don't know it's Josh Brolin, because it's like a big guy with a red head. He plays both parts,
Is he getting paid twice as much?
I guess so.
Well, how about like on Netflix, where it's like you'll be watching one of the shows, like, you know, and all of a sudden the character from the other show comes in, and it's like, it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah,
in
like
a way.
The Marvel shows,
They just weave them all through all the Marvel shows,
They offered Brad the role of Thanos, but he wouldn't shave the beard.
Nope, I couldn't do it, man.
He's like, nope.
I said,
Thanos has a beard. They're like, nope. He's like, Brad doesn't get the part.
Shut it down.
Down.
Hey, you've got to set your standards, Matt.
It's true.
So what do you do?
I'm a photographer.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What kind of camera do you use?
It's funny
iPhone.
You ask. I use mostly Leica stuff, but which is, you know, great and German, and I love it, and it's built like a tank, but...
Great lenses,
but yesterday I had it hanging off one of my camera cars, and I smashed it into a wall in Death Valley, so...
Well, you're not supposed to do that.
No, you're really not supposed to do that, but it was a tease because it's built so well, I went running up to it, and there was no broken parts, no nothing anywhere, it was just, you know, perfectly fine, and I just picked it up, and it's ever so slightly... Just tweaked, won't start, nothing. So I used to use Leica, so we'll see what I can
see what's next, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, dear.
That's unusual. A lot of
dear Sammy's camera.
Yeah.
Raz is
yeah.
looking for something new.
Exactly. If you're listening,
feel free to email him at destroyedcameracar.com.
But it is fun. I shoot a lot of German cars, and so whenever clients and stuff see a German camera,
he knows what he's doing.
And they're pretty things.
Where it's hard is when I used to do action sports photography and always use Nikons because if I ever broke a lens or something, I could always have Nikon Pro to shoot it into me. No. And, you know,
that's the only downside.
Yeah. It's hard to get stuff for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
How'd you get into shooting cars? How did you get into the photography side of cars?
Basically, as a kid, once I was a teenager and like right before I could get my license, I was trying to figure out like how the hell can I be around cars all day? And so essentially what I did was I just like tried to convince my friends' dads who had like fun cars laying around to like go out to parking lots. I'd shoot some video of them and whatever. And so that kind of evolved and turned into a little bit of a career. And now I've turned to the still side of things and yeah, it's still working.
And do you do videography at all or mostly just stills?
I've pivoted away from video for a little bit just because it's hard to scale video, you know?
Right.
Go up to a bigger thing. So you gotta, you know, it's a lot of extra stuff.
It's an interesting industry because the industry isn't really getting smaller. If anything, it's getting bigger, but the way we see content is changing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the magazines and all the books or stuff are kind of shutting down. And for a while, you think, oh, the writers are gone, the photographers are gone.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the case. We're just creating content in different areas. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people that were writers are doing things like podcasts and stuff. Yeah. And photography is probably even way bigger now because you don't have to wait for that book to come out once a month and see if you can get your one photo. And now with social media.
Well, and there's new creative mediums, you know.
Yeah.
You know, stories and stuff like that on Instagram.
Which is good and bad. And I'm sure Raz would probably agree with this, that with this whole new world that we're living in, everybody thinks they can do it.
Oh yeah.
Honestly,
if you have a good enough phone, you can take
photos.
Yeah, but you're not going to get paid for it.
Well,
but,
yeah, yeah, but there's the eye, and you talked about it earlier. There's good photos, and there's well composed, well thought through, and you know it's there's not everybody has it.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I learned kind of seeing behind the curtain, kind of getting into this industry was that, you know, there's a massive difference between a snapshot and an image.
An image that was
conceived, you know, at a round table in an office building, three, 4, 5 months before you even take the photo. And then there's a whole bunch of extra stuff after that. So, you know, there are many things that people don't usually get to see about this industry and that I've just had a fun time just kind of falling into it and finding out all about it. So, but as you said, everyone, you know, there are a lot of people out there shooting photos, but I think it's cool. You know, there's
no, it is,
you know, and I really love it because, you know, to go back to Instagram and stuff, I love using Instagram just to find new fun locations. You know, I'll follow all these people regardless of how great their eye is, but they find these amazing roads, these amazing places to explore. And, you know, it's all over the world. So
these awesome buildings and stuff like that use as backdrops.
Totally. Just incredible roads. You know, talking about my Death Valley trip. There's this road in the middle of Death Valley. It's called Artist Drive. It's a one-way road, and it snakes up and through the mountain, and it's brand new pavement. And I was there yesterday with this beautiful Mercedes AMG GTR, and it was just, you know, I was sitting there with my dad. He flew out to assist me, which was awesome. And I was just going, how do they build roads? Like, why do they build roads like this? How is this here? You know, and so, you know, that was one of those things, like, I just stumbled upon this road, and now I hope that people see my images and stuff, and, you know, get out and explore it.
Were you in Death Valley overnight?
I was not in Death Valley. No, I was in Death Valley overnight. I was surprised how actually warm it was.
How about how dark it is?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you hold your hand out and you can't see it. It's crazy.
But it made for a great sunrise. And the car we had was like this inky blue. And when the sun was rising, it was the same color. It was stunning.
Nice.
But 2 hours later, we smashed my Leica and had to drive home. But yeah, it was a good time.
Well, your dad flew.
My dad.
Better the camera than the car, right?
Well, and my dad was the one driving the camera car that hit the wall. So actually, it wasn't my fault. So I was, I was okay. I was like, my
dad.
Send him an invoice.
Oh, I will. Don't you worry.
So here's an interesting question that comes up quite a bit through social media that I find, like people doing podcasting now and doing photography and stuff. I actually get asked quite a bit is how should one get started in this? Do you have any advice for somebody that wants to get into this?
I mean,
he doesn't want any competition, man.
It's a weird thing because there's so many people we talk to and they go, oh, this wasn't what I was planning to do. And something sort of happened. I kind of got into this.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but if somebody wanted to get into it, another one is like a lot of people do test cars and press cars. People are like, how do I get that? How do I start doing that? Yeah. That seems like a dream gig. How do you get that? And I was like, well, it kind of takes a lot of work. You need to build up some sort of platform or content or show or something around it. And I remember the first time I called somebody and said, hey, you know, we're going to start doing a new segment and we want to test drive cars. Can we get something? And before they even responded to me, they went and called other companies that are already working with the Motor Trends and Edmunds of the world and going, who is this guy? Is he playing in your field?
Yeah.
Will you vouch for them?
Yeah.
And then I got an email back. They're like, yeah, the guys at Edmunds said you're good. I was like, whew.
I mean, you kind of have to do that nowadays, you know?
You know? Unfortunately. Because there's so many people that are like, hey, I'm going to start a blog. Maybe Mercedes will send me a car to drive. Mm-hmm. The answer is no.
Well, you remember when Ferrari sent us cars, and that was the first and the last time.
That was the first and the last time.
No, what did you guys do?
No, not that.
He duct taped a like into the roof.
Yeah, I hit a wall.
Death Valley, it's
me. Yeah.
So is there any advice for somebody trying to get into this?
People ask me all the time, like, what gear should I get? What camera should I get? All this kind of stuff. And I always turn to them and go, get whatever car you can, whatever gets you excited, whatever, like, the most fun thing that you have, and just go find a new road. Go out somewhere and shoot and go find something authentic. Go on a proper adventure. Because I find that, like, there's all these great shoots where there's all this pre-production, there's all this work to do, make these images come together in a specific spot, a specific time. But I always find that, like, the images that, like, I get most excited about and that, like, I'm usually the most proud of are the ones where, like, I'm in the middle of an amazing experience, like driving a crazy road in Death Valley, mm-hmm. and I just take a shot. You know what I mean? I'm just like, this is such an incredible spot and it's such an incredible drive or whatever it is. I'll take that shot. And for whatever reason, maybe it's just because it means more to me, but those are always the shots that I remember and that I get pumped about. And it's as easy as just going out and finding a new road. You know what I mean?
I agree with that. I say if you're with anything, just do it. Just start doing it. Yeah. Don't worry about, like, even if you want to start a podcast, don't worry about getting all the gear and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Just start recording something, like, exactly. with your laptop or into your phone or something. And by the way, you don't need to post all your shows. Like, if you want to just get into something like that, sit down with some buddies and record it and then play it back later and see what you all think of it, right?
Yeah.
And then photography, right? Just grab your phone, take a road trip.
Yeah.
A friend of mine's a photographer. He's worked for a bunch of magazines, big in the motorcycle world. And before he even really started getting those gigs, he's like, I'm going to take a cross-country trip. He drove across the country, 3,000 miles. He got home. It's like, how many photos did you take? He's like, 9,000.
Exactly.
I was like, did you drive as well? He's like, yeah, it was kind of difficult, though.
<'Cause>, oh, I'm going to pull over there and take a great shot.
And then he got hired to, like, take a motorcycle trip, like the big, like, off-road kind of street, like enduro bikes.
Yes.
I don't know if they're still called that.
Yeah.
All through Central America.
Right.
And he did, like, a whole trip. I forgot who it was or something. It was, like, Kawasaki or something. They're like, him and a buddy, to, like, take these two bikes. And they went, like, all through Central America, and then it was just this epic trip, and they came back, and they had this awesome piece, and the experience of doing it, of just, like, crashing into a rock and blowing out a tire and trying to fix the bike and then get back into town and doing a thing. And
well, it used to be called practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
And it's the same adage now. You've got to keep doing. There's that old saying that if you do anything for 10,000 hours, you're going to do very well at it.
Yeah.
And look at how many car builders we know.
Yeah.
That whether they're building race cars, custom cars, hot rods. They started in their garage, this kind of stuff is exactly the same. As you guys both said, just start doing it. If you love doing it, then you're going to float to the top and somebody's going to see what you're doing.
Well, and if you start with a great experience, even if you come away with it, like I did in my Death Valley trip, with half as many photos as I wanted, I still had a great experience.
And a story about wrecking your camera.
Exactly. So at the end of the day, even if a new person goes out and shoots a bunch of car photos, they come home and they hate it all. If they went out and had a good experience while they were shooting it, then who cares? You know?
Right.
And they'll get better.
And you'll be in that ad for Leica 5 years from now where they're saying, I was in Death Valley and the camera still got
really
through.
Creepy about it? I had taken 666 frames before the hammer hit the wall.
Oh, really?
I kid you not.
How many pictures did you take of your broken camera?
None, because it doesn't look broken.
No.
That's the thing. It was such a tease. I thought it
was funny. Yeah. We brought you in because you're part of, we have this great relationship with Turtle Wax now, which we love, and you're part of their Shine Squad team. How does one become a Shine Squad member? Do you go to them?
Did you refuse to use dulling spray on the set?
This is great. So to go back to, you know, how you start, you know, building a base or a brand or whatever.
I feel like photographers are car detailers secretly anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, that, like, no, this is why.
No kidding.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You're like, it's, no the, it's the one job that you don't get paid for, to detail cars for 2 hours and then shoot it for 20 minutes.
Yeah. So anyway, so Turtle Wax, someone at Turtle Wax's agency, Zeno Group, great group of people. They reached out on my Instagram, just sent me like a direct message saying, hey, we've been following you for a while. We love your content. When we have this client, Turtle Wax, we'd like to talk to you about, you know, starting something, you know, in that realm. And this was before Shine Squad was a thing. This was, you know, this was pre all that. And essentially, they just wanted to collect a group of people across Instagram, not necessarily photographers, but just creative people who are into cars, different areas, who maybe happen to use Turtle Wax products already, like myself, who can just kind of weave Turtle Wax into their content and essentially just tell people about the brand and, you know, be a brand ambassador. And so when they came to me and they said, well, have you heard of Turtle Wax? Do you use Turtle Wax? You know, I turned to them and said, well, first of all, my dad had the, you know, the metal tin back in the day in the cabinet. So I, of course, I've used Turtle Wax forever. But also, like you said, I'm a photographer. So, you know, I go out and I spend 30 minutes every morning detailing a car before I go shoot it. So I go, you know, I'm already using your products. So if you guys, you know, if I get to partner with you guys and have, you know, go do fun trips like I did, I went to Argentina with them. And so it's been just kind of like this great relationship that I built with them that just kind of worked because it was already there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And they,
all right. You
know, and they make great products. So
I'll go. Yeah. I'll go to Argentina. Come on.
Yeah, right?
Come on, Turtle Wax. Let's do this.
Yeah, I'll go too. Yeah. They can force me.
Where's Aaron?
He's probably up on the mountain shoveling snow right now.
Jeez.
Our third member lives in Tahoe, and they've had a bunch of snow up there, and he was down last week to do the show, and he got home to 4 feet of snow. So
Not good.
He sent us photos. Speaking of photos.
Yeah. So you were working on projects recently with Mercedes and AMG. Yeah. I think I saw you roll up in an AMG GT.
Yes, I
right?
did. Yeah.
That's one of their cars that you're supposed to work on, or is that your car?
Yep. That's one of theirs.
That's one of theirs.
That's a press car, yeah.
That's right.
Those are the best ones to have.
Yeah, they are.
You take them back, you get a new one, you check in the new one, and then you go have fun with that.
Yeah, and this one, I had the pleasure of doing the entire break-in period of this car, and then
I finally
hit 1,000 miles, did a few donuts, and drove it here.
There you go.
So what do you drive every day?
My daily in L.A. is an M2, but my most recent acquisition, and my favorite at the moment, I have a 1984 G-Wagon. A Mercedes G-Wagon that was in the Dutch military for 30 years.
Oh, really?
And it just had it imported to the United States, so it's been in the States for, you know, 3 months. And this is like its retirement after working in the military for so long. Now it's living it up in Southern California.
Did it come with wooden clogs?
No, but it has plaid seats and a manual transmission. And,
that's cool.
You know, it's the short wheelbase one. It's awesome.
What about motorcycles?
Motorcycles, I'm a Ducati guy. I got
777 or
I got suckered in by the Panigale, but I just did a shoot for them and shot their Scrambler Desert Sled, which is like it's essentially like this hyper. Well, it's essentially like a Ducati dirt bike, essentially.
Yeah,
that you know like that you can go and properly jump and take off road, and that's my newest Ion toy. That
yeah, Ducatis are nice bikes. I got a buddy who's just everything Ducati.
Where can we find you? I've seen some of your photos that are fantastic. Is it mostly Instagram for you?
Yeah, it's mostly Instagram. That's where, and, you know, my website's pretty much just my portfolio.
What's your Instagram account?
Just my name, Raz Krog, R-A-Z-K-R-O-G.
Yeah, come on, Matt.
I like that name.
It's right? easy.
I'm changing my name to Raz Krog.
How about Maz Krog?
I'm going to get Raz Krog, too, on Instagram and see what happens.
Krog. Maybe if you do that, I'll get the little check mark because someone's
trying. Oh, yours is verified.
Yeah.
Mine's the unofficial.
Exactly.
The unofficial version. Guys, go to turtlewax.com. Check it out. See what the products that they have. And you can get introduced to all of these Shine Squad members at turtlewax.com. So check them out. Follow Raz on Instagram as well. His photos are fantastic. You're going to love them. And you might see You might see an occasional Turtle Wax product in there.
Yeah, I've checked them out. They're nice. They're very good, and it's you know, you've got the product in there on some of them, but it's well composed and done right. I bet you're a professional.
Someone told me that. Yeah.
So, yeah. But you know the people at Turtle Wax. You know, I went to their website. They've got some fantastic videos.
Yeah.
And I mean, it looks like such a breadth of people and in their influencer group and around the world. That's so cool.
Honestly, that's been the coolest part about this. So I was kind of a, you know, I was a ground floor member of the Shine Smart thing. I was part of the first three, and now it's grown to this big, fantastic group of people all around the world. And to go to the point you brought up about their incredible videos, we just shot, they just shot a video on every single continent. To essentially highlight that, you know, the love for cars is universal. And the first one we did, we actually, I went down to Buenos Aires with them, and we shot a video about, and just essentially explored Buenos Aires and Estancia out in the middle of the countryside. And we talked to a bunch of fun people who were absolutely in love with cars in the exact same way that, you know, we are here in Los Angeles and, you know, in the U.S. So it's been a cool thing.
So they didn't make you go down and just detail cars?
No, good. Not quite. I mean, I did detail some cars while I was down there, but, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Well, we're gonna wrap things up. So stick around, though. I love what you guys are doing. We're definitely going to get some more of the Shine Squad members in here because I want to hear more of these stories.
Group.
So we'll reach out and get some more guys in there. But before we wrap up, let's get an update on some of Brad's crap.
We got Ned. Come on, you say that every time. The hashtag is Win Brad Stuff, and you know what? It's off the hook. It's going great.
Where's the toy? Wait,
it's right down there.
I see it down there.
That's this week's. I pulled that out of my stash of stuff. And so here's what we're doing just to bring Raz up to speed. I've got warehouses full of stuff I've collected over the years, and I'm a notorious collector where like I'll go, well, I can't just have one. I've got to have two.
Collector's the fancy word for hoarder. By
yes,
the way.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. But it's collector when it's automotive stuff.
Of course.
So we've been giving away stuff from carbon fiber pens to, you know, everything. And we gave away that book that was autographed by all of us. And so anyways, last week we announced that we were giving away the diecast toy that we did with Dub Toys, my wheel company, with my business partners Ford GT. And
so this is a model. This is a diecast of Michael Anthony's Ford GT with Bond Speed wheels on it.
That's right.
And only a handful of these were made, right? Like I don't know exactly how many.
I think they made thousands of them, but they sold them in all the major retailers. But I somehow ended up with a case of them, so it's.
They're not available anymore.
They haven't been available, yeah. You know, since 2005. So
does Mikey have any?
I don't know if I've ever given it.
That's what I was thinking.
I think he does.
You're like, here. They only sent one, Mikey. They only sent one. Cherish it. And not even two, like one to play with and one to keep in the package. Yeah, like, they only sent one. No, meanwhile, you've got a box of 48.
Dude, he's a rock star. He doesn't need any more
stuff.
He's
got the real car.
He's got the real one. So, we did the drawing.
Yeah.
And the winner for this week's prize is Junkman 356. Sounds like the perfect guy to win Brad's stuff. So Junkman 356, contact us at shiftandsteer@gmail.com. Give us your name and address, and we'll get that out. The other prizes are being shipped. Now, next prize on the agenda.
Yeah.
You're going to want this, Matt. I know you wanted that diecast, but it wasn't meant to be.
All right. What is it? I'm ready.
I went into my flat files and years ago, I mentioned this on a previous show, there was an Orange County litho printer here that I read about that was going out of business, and he was selling everything, his printing presses. Well, I went over, and he was the guy who printed all of the drag racing posters and all that kind of stuff.
So cool.
And he would keep, you know, like 100 of everything to, you know, show, give away his press checks, and, you know, here's the kind of work we do. Well, a bunch of these from Orange County International Raceway, Riverside Raceway, he had them all. And so I bought them all from him. I couldn't resist.
Of course
you did. I just bought everything and put it in my warehouse on a pallet, wrapped up, and I completely forgot that I had them. So about a year ago, we were cleaning the warehouse. And anyway, so I've pulled one of those out. I'm giving one away. And it is actually the Lions drag strip poster, and it's the NHRA Grand Premier. It's got a top fuel dragster. It's actually Tony Nancy's top fuel dragster on there. And this is an authentic NOS poster in perfect condition. It'll go out in a mailing tube. And, you know, I don't part with these very easily.
I could see the stress in your eyes.
I know, man.
Meanwhile, you have a palette somewhere of...
Well, I had this dream of my beach house, you know, maybe making it into wallpaper, but that dream's never come true.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I love that idea.
All right, so you're going to get the cool poster. You're going to post some photos of it on all of our social media. It's all at Shift Steer Media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, so check those out. So this is what you do. If you like the show, go on to iTunes, give us a nice rating, give us a review, and in your comments, tag Win Brad's Stuff. Now, if you've already done this, you're automatically in for all the prizes. You don't have to do it
That's
twice.
Right.
You can just do it for as long as you want. Right? You're already in. But if you haven't done it yet, go in there. Tell us something fun. Tell us something funny. Tell us something that you like about the show. Whatever. And tag Win Brad's Stuff, and you're in. And then listen to the show, because this is the way you're going to get it. Is we're going to call out their username, and you got to send us an email, and we'll do it because, you know, don't post your phone number on the review. Hey, I want to win Brad's stuff. Call me at whatever. Like, don't do that.
Well, Matt, I've been hoping that they wouldn't claim them and I could keep the stuff, but everybody's claiming it.
Okay,
damn
but
it.
No lie, you've got more than one of everything you're giving away. So
people keep asking if I'm giving any of my cars away. No.
Yet? We haven't figured that out yet.
We haven't got there yet.
We're going to find something.
I was asked if any of my watches. No, none of my watches are going.
Well, as we're moving on, we've got to come up with like one super prize. We'll give away all these prizes. We've got to come up with like one really cool like super prize.
I'll give away a watch.
And will you?
I will. I'll give away a watch.
And again, if you're already submitted, you're going to be submitted anyway. So you can still win stuff and then a Bond Speed watch, which I have and I love. I have two of them and
they're
fantastic.
Oh, no, not a Bond Speed watch. I was going to give away my Grand Compliqué, but... Okay, a Bond Speed watch.
Okay, I'm going to assume a Bond Speed watch. You had a Rolex on the other day. You're going to give that away?
No, one of my vintage Rolexes? No, yeah. I'm not going to give that away.
If you are, I'll give a review.
And it's not going to be a Bonneville watch. One of my Bonneville watches is going to be a Bond Speed watch.
Yeah.
But you've got Bond Speed watches. You
I do.
Dig
I've
them,
got
don't
two
you?
Of them, yeah.
Carbon fiber dial? And,
yeah, that's a real carbon fiber dial. At least that's what he told me when he sold it to
Take
me.
It apart. It's a carbon fiber wafer.
Is it? I'm not going to take it apart. I don't want to break it.
Exactly.
I wore it last night.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, hey, everybody, you know, that's about all the time we have for this week. And, you know, it's been a good show. We talked about autonomous cars. We spoke about the Chrysler Museum. And we had a great guest, Raz Krog. Doug his name. Doug what he does. He shined himself up for today, too. Did
yeah,
you know
I saw that car that you had. Everything was looking, the car's looking good.
It was sparkling.
Check him out on Raz Krog on Instagram, guys. You're going to check it. You're going to love his stuff. And, of course, turtlewax.com.
And where can they find us online, Matt?
At Shift and Steer. Check us out at Shift and Steer. You can listen to the podcast there. You can subscribe on iTunes. I'm just assuming everybody listening is already subscribed on iTunes.
We're getting a very good response. It's amazing. When I give my stuff away, people subscribe. It's
yeah.
I guess the show wasn't enough for them. It had to be that they're getting something for free.
We want to do more of the fan mail stuff as well. So email us at
shiftandsteer@gmail.com. Just send us in your comments about the show. We'll read them online, good, bad, or otherwise, because we call it hate mail, great mail. So, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Brad Fanshaw.
I'm Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea.
Double Aaron is stuck on the mountain. And thanks to Raz Krog for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And Turtle Wax for being part of the show.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.